Okay, good morning, everybody. Well, I think most of you know me, but I met someone this morning that didn't know who I was. So my name is Kevin Cochran, and I've been in Japan for about 4 years now. Kind of hard to believe, but by God's grace, he has sustained me and continued to give me joy to serve him. And so I'm thankful to preach this morning. I work with high school students, and I usually give messages in Japanese. So this is a bit strange in a good way, giving a message in English again. But thankful to be here, and I just pray that God can encourage and challenge our hearts as a result of this message. So I want to start by asking a few questions, and as I ask them, you don't need to raise your hand, but just kind of look at the condition of your heart and just ask if any of these questions may be true for you this morning. So I'm wondering if there's anyone here that would say, you're tired this morning, physically or maybe spiritually or maybe mentally or maybe emotionally. Perhaps there's someone here that you're trying really hard to live the Christian life, but you're getting frustrated by your lack of progress, or you seem to be stuck wherever you are in your walk. Perhaps there's someone here that is struggling with some kind of addiction to sin or to some kind of bad habit, and you want to break free, you want to walk in holiness, but for whatever reason, you just seem stuck in that addiction or that sin. Maybe there's someone here that you really want to grow in holiness, you want to, you know, mature, but again, you just feel stuck. Maybe there's some here that you just have this hunger and this thirst, and you may even be a Christian, but you just feel like that hunger and that thirst has not yet been satisfied, no matter how much you seek God, no matter how much you read the Bible, and you just feel like, man, there's just something more. Maybe you're lonely, maybe you're lacking joy, maybe you're discouraged about something. Yeah, I wonder if that's any of you this morning. Or on the other hand, maybe you come here this morning, you're just full of joy and happiness and life is great. And if that's the case, I'm really happy too. So if that's you, maybe you have a friend or you know someone that may fit in the category of those questions that I was asking earlier. So I'm guessing all of us either could answer yes to one of those questions, or we know someone that could answer yes to one of those questions. So if you feel that way, I have good news for you this morning. And to see what that good news is, I'd like us to turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, if you have your Bibles. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. And I know Kent prayed for me, but I'd like to quickly pray again before we continue. So God, thank you for your word. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would open our hearts, open our ears. May you speak to us. God, may this message not be my words, but may it be yours. And God, may you get the glory, and may we be challenged and encouraged through the speaking and the message of your word this morning. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, everybody there? Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, okay, that's probably a verse that most of you have heard, and you're probably wondering how I'm going to talk for 30 minutes on one verse, but don't worry, I've got a lot prepared. So, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, I mentioned a minute ago that I have good news. So you're probably wondering what that good news is if you feel tired or discouraged or sad or whatever. And so that good news is this. You simply cannot do it. That's what it is. You can't break that sin addiction. You can't produce joy in your heart. You can't make yourself grow spiritually. You can't get yourself out of that desert of desire and dissatisfaction. You can't find something in this world that's going to make you truly happy. So that's the good news. But you're probably thinking, okay, well, how is that good news? Because I just finished saying you can't do it. But don't worry, because it is good news. But before you understand why that is good news, how you can't do it, before you understand why that's good news, you have to first understand the true condition of your heart. Because if you don't, then the news won't be good. So I'm going to ask another question, and this is going to help us understand, I hope. So, and this time I want you to raise your hand if it's true, okay? So has anybody seen a homeless person or a person begging on the streets? If you have, raise your hand. Okay, I thought so. Almost everybody. Homeless person, yeah. Now, before I came to Japan, I used to live in Chicago, and that's also a big city, and there's a lot of homeless people there. But I have to admit that the homeless people in Tokyo are a little different than in most U.S. cities, because most of the homeless people I see in Japan, they don't really put out a box or a hat asking for money. They don't really put out a sign saying, please help me. They don't really talk to people walking by and say, hey, please help me. They just kind of, I don't know, they've kind of maybe accepted their lot in life. They think they're maybe too embarrassed or too shameful to ask for money, so they just kind of don't really make a big scene. But in America and in Chicago, my experience was a little different, and usually people were not afraid to ask for money. They weren't afraid to, you know, call you a bad name if you weren't giving them money, and you know, they'd hold up a sign and they would make it very clear what they wanted, and so you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt they wanted help. Anyways, I'm sharing that because this will help us understand what Jesus said in Matthew 5:3. So he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." So that word poor, we need to understand what it means. So I'm not a Greek expert, and I won't claim to be, but I did a little study, like Ron does, and there's actually three main words for poor in the Greek. And so this word poor that Jesus is using, it's like of the three levels of poverty, it is the lowest one. So it's this idea of like you have nothing to bring to the table. You can't earn anything. You can't work for anything. You have no ability to get yourself out of that condition. You are just utterly and completely poor and impoverished, and you just have nothing. So in a word, you're a beggar. So when Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," that word poor means you're just like way down there and you have nothing. You just have just nothing. And that's what Jesus is saying here. But he doesn't say just poor. He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." So now we have to ask, well, what does spirit mean? And at first, there's a lot of words for spirit, too, in the Greek. But this specific one is the word pneuma, and that, again, has a lot of meanings. But in this specific context, what Jesus is talking about is kind of your inner condition, your inner spiritual state, as compared to kind of your outward condition. So spirit, it's like what you are on the inside. It's your spiritual kind of makeup, your spiritual ability. So now we put that together, right? And what do we get? We get poor in spirit. So basically what Jesus is saying is poor in spirit is someone who is spiritually broken inside, someone who has to ask God for everything, someone who can't work to get anything, someone who has no ability to do the right thing, someone who can't be righteous, someone who is just simply poor and desperate on the inside. So that's kind of the picture Jesus is getting at, okay? So now, with that kind of image in mind, I'm going to ask you, I like to ask questions. I'm going to ask you another question. Have you reached that point in your heart? Have you reached that acceptance in your heart that is where you're at spiritually? Are you aware how much you need God? Are you aware and have you accepted that you can't break that sin addiction in your own strength? Are you aware that you can't produce joy in your heart? You can't earn something from God. And have you accepted that your heart, our hearts are so desperate for the love and presence of Jesus, and he's the only one that can fill that place in our hearts? Because if you haven't reached that point spiritually, if you don't understand this reality, then this verse actually isn't really good news. And the reason is because in James, you can just listen or you can turn there, but in James chapter 4, verse 6, James writes that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I'm going to read that again. God resists, or he turns away, or he's against, or he's opposed to the proud, but he gives grace, he helps, he turns to, he assists the humble. So again, I want you to ask yourself, where is your heart this morning? Are you pretending that you have it all together? Are you trying to please God in your own strength? Are you afraid to ask God or ask others for help? Are you still trying to find joy in this world from some other person or some other thing or some other situation? Or is your attitude kind of like, you know, I've been a Christian for whatever, 1 or 5 or 10 or 30 years, and you know, like I've got this Christian thing pretty much figured out. You know, I go to church, I read the Bible, I pray, and you know, I've got this figured out. Is that kind of your heart's condition? Because if that was kind of how you're thinking, well then, I hate to say it, but that's symptoms of having a proud heart. If you have a hard time asking God for things, if you have a hard time asking help from other people, if you don't realize how desperate your heart condition is, then those are symptoms of a proud heart. And God says he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so perhaps this morning, like many, many, many times in my life, and recently too, you're coming here this morning and you you've kind of reached that point of desperation and hunger for God. You've kind of accepted, you know, I just can't do it. I can't fill that longing in my heart. I can't produce joy. I can't break that sin addiction. I can't get rid of that lonely, discouraged feeling I feel. Every morning I wake up and I'm hungry and I'm thirsty and nothing else, no matter what I look for in this world, it just doesn't satisfy me. So if that's how you're feeling this morning, then I have good news. See, we're getting there. I promise I have good news. Yeah, so if you feel that way this morning, if you've reached that point of spiritual hunger and desperation and, yeah, Jesus, I just need you so much, then rejoice. Turn to the person next to you and say rejoice.
Rejoice.
Okay, good. Good. We're all awake now. Good. In case you're sleeping, we're back awake now. Good. So if you're feeling that way this morning, rejoice. And here's the reason. Back to Matthew 5:3. Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, right? So now we have to ask, what does that word blessed mean? You know, I tried to read the Bible in Japanese sometimes, as a good missionary should. I confess, I still tend to read it in English, so I'm not maybe as good as some missionaries. But anyways, one time I was reading the Bible in Japanese just to help, you know, grow in my Japanese. And I read this verse in Japanese, you know, the Sermon on the Mount. And I don't know if any of you have, but if you speak Japanese, whether a lot or a little, or if you are a Japanese person, I would encourage you to read it. But it says, so the way they translate the word blessed, at least in some translations, is saiwai. Did I say that right? Saiwai, yeah. And basically, that means like happy. So Jesus is saying, happy are you if you're a beggar or if you're poor in spirit. That kind of struck me like, wow, happy. Okay, happy are you. But actually, if you look at that word, blessed, it has a lot of different meanings, but it kind of does have this idea of like, you are happy, you are joyful, you are fortunate, it's like a good thing. So that's what it means to be blessed. You can be happy, you can rejoice, you can be joyful. So, again, the question is, okay, well, how is this good news? Why are we blessed if we're poor in spirit? It's good news because, what does the end of verse 3 say? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Okay, see, we got to the good news. I told you we would. The kingdom of heaven. Now, again, I think we can kind of maybe get an idea of what that means, but that's not always an easy kind of phrase to define. But as far as I understand, when Jesus says the kingdom of heaven, he's basically saying all that God has to offer, all the riches of heaven, all of God's divine blessings, all that God has in his kingdom, all that he has to offer you, like, that is the kingdom of heaven. And in a sense, you could argue or say that the kingdom of heaven is just Jesus himself. Because Jesus, right, he is the greatest gift of heaven. It says in Hebrews that Jesus is the exact imprint of God's nature. So when we look at Jesus, we're getting a picture of who God is. And so the kingdom of heaven is all of God's riches and blessings. And so Jesus says we're blessed because we have the kingdom of heaven, or we have everything from God, everything in heaven at our disposal. Okay, I think I've kind of explained that verse, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. But when you're listening to a sermon, you should always be asking a question. And that question is, so what? Okay, so I've heard this good sermon. Okay, so what? What difference does it make in my life? How can I live this out? How can I apply this to my life? Right? You should always be asking that question when you're listening to a sermon. And if you ever give a message, you should always be thinking of that as you give it. Because if today ends and you guys walk out and you think, oh, that was a great sermon, and that's it, and nothing changes in your life and you don't know how to change, then I've basically wasted an hour of my time, because I don't want to hear, and I don't want you just to be thinking, oh, that was a nice sermon, Kevin. Yeah, okay, he's a good speaker. He's a good missionary. Like, okay, if that's the only takeaway you get, then I have failed. So my hope and my goal and my prayer is that as you're listening, you can be thinking about, okay, what difference does this make and how can I change, right? So with that in mind, I have more good news, because it's actually really simple, and I'm going to hopefully give you really simple practical ways to apply this verse. So if you're taking notes, I would encourage you to write these three things down. And if you're not taking notes, I forgive you, but no. you now would be a good time to start. So these are basically three steps of how you can be blessed and how you can receive the kingdom of heaven. And this is an acronym, so it's ASK, A-S-K, okay? This will be an acronym to help you remember. So the first step that is important is that you need to A, admit that you are spiritually broken, or another word is maybe repent. So you need to maybe admit or confess that you've been prideful lately and you haven't been asking God for help. Or maybe you need to confess that you're really, you know, self-dependent and you don't really turn to God for help. Or maybe you need to confess some kind of idolatry in your heart. When I went to Bible school, they told me that transparency breeds or helps produce transparency in other people. So I'm going to try to be transparent here without sharing my most deepest secrets. But anyway, some things that I confess when I pray, if you're thinking, well, I'm pretty good. I don't think I need to confess anything. Hopefully maybe hearing a couple things that I often confess will help stir in your heart to see what is good to confess. So I often confess to God, just, you know, God, that I'm really prideful and I'm really stubborn and I like my life the way it is and I don't like to change. So then when I realize that, I just pray, okay, God, change my heart. Help me depend on you. I often confess when I wake up in the morning, like, Jesus, my soul is really hungry and I'm really thirsty. And Jesus, if you don't fill my heart and if you don't satisfy my heart today, then my heart is going to start wandering and I'm going to start looking for other things in this world to fill me. I often confess, God, there are times when I think I need something or someone else to make me happy. God, I need my ministry to be better. I need this to happen. I need to get married. I need to have this, 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 and then I'll be happy. So I don't know. Do you guys ever find yourself in that place where you're thinking, oh, I just need this and then I'll be happy? Well, that's a sign of idolatry because God is the most important, He is the author and the source of joy. And so if we find ourselves thinking, oh, I need something else to make me happy, then we've lost our awe of God. We've lost our view of how amazing He is. You know your heart better than I do, but I would just encourage you, if you really want to get to that place of receiving God's blessing and God's work in your heart, the first thing we need to do is admit, or we need to confess how much we need God. And sometimes, honestly, I don't know, I don't always realize I'm walking in sin or that I've done something wrong. So I challenge you or encourage you, sometimes when you pray, just pause and ask God, is there anything I've done today or this week that I need to confess? And more times than not, when I pause and ask God that question, He almost always reveals some either big or little thing, maybe an attitude, something that I've done that I need to confess. So if you don't know what to confess, just ask God and He'll probably reveal something. Okay, so the first thing is to admit. And the second thing is to seek. Seek God every day. Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. So I would encourage everyone to seek God, especially in the morning. Now I know some people are like, well, I know, but I'm not a morning person, and I need like an hour just to wake up, and I have to have coffee and this and that. And oh, okay, I get this. Not everybody's a morning person like me. But if that's the case, then okay, fine, drink coffee or go for a walk out in the cold air or, you know, take a cold shower. What, I don't care. But, you know, if it's important to, I would say, to spend time with God in the morning. And it's biblical too, because if you read the Psalms, David says in chapter 5, verse 3, in the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and I wait expectantly. And Psalm 55:17 says, evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and He hears my voice. You know, and sometimes I'm guilty of it too, but we make excuses like, oh, but I'm busy, and I have a sister, okay, and she has three kids, and so I'm learning from her that, especially if you're a parent and you have little kids, the time in the morning is very difficult and hard to get. So I sympathize from my sister's perspective. So I know it's easier when you're single and you have lots of time. But regardless, if you have zero kids or five kids, I would encourage you, if it's only 5 or 10 minutes, just try to spend time with God in the morning. Because our hearts, they wake up every morning and they're hungry and they're thirsty for Jesus. And they need to be filled by his love and his presence. And one more thing, maybe this is more for millennials. Do you guys all know what that is, millennials? Millennials are people that were born between 1980 and, 1996 maybe? Something like that. Anyways, I'm a millennial, and most millennials have iPhones. I know people older do too, but it's not just a millennial thing. But anyways, what I'm getting at is some of my millennial friends, they tell me, you know, the first thing they do when they wake up is they check their phone, you know, their iPhone. They got to check their email or their Facebook or their Twitter or whatever. And I'm thinking, you know, that's, I mean, from a strictly physical standpoint, that's not the healthiest thing to do because, you know, that screen, that bright, whatever, blue LED screen isn't the nicest on your eyes. But from a spiritual perspective, I mean, if the first thing you're doing is checking your phone and checking your email and checking your Facebook, well, that reveals what's important to you. And it reveals that email and Facebook or whatever is more important than spending time with God, I would argue. And, you know, I'm going to be honest here. None of you are that important that if you wait one extra hour, the world's going to fall apart. And if you don't respond to an email right when you wake up, you're not that important. You know, maybe if you were like the emperor, the president of the United States, maybe then it would be that important. But most of us, you're not that important that you need to check your email the very first thing when you wake up and you have to send an email. Like, you can wait 30 minutes. And, you know, and if your iPhone is your alarm, okay, well, go buy an alarm clock. they only cost, you know, 700 yen at the store. You know, and if you don't have 700 yen, then I'll buy you an alarm clock so you can do that. So anyways, seek God and seek him in the morning, I would encourage us. And then lastly, so we've got A, admit, we've got S, seek, and the last one is K, I would say keep seeking or continue seeking. You know, like I said, having a morning quiet time, as we sometimes call it in Christianity, and that's really important, but don't just like stop there, right? I'm guilty of it too sometimes, but I think we have this tendency to have our quiet time and then we kind of check off the box like, yep, okay, did my quiet time and now I can just go on to my part of the day and write everything that I need to do. I don't know, I'm not married, but I'm guessing if that was your attitude towards your spouse and, you know, you had your 5-minute breakfast with your spouse and then you kind of checked off the box of, okay, I talked to my spouse today and that's taken care of. And, you know, I don't think that marriage would last very long. You know, so in the same way with God, yes, we should seek him in the morning, but like, don't just stop there. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says we should pray without ceasing. So I think that means having just an attitude of prayer throughout the day. So you might get to work and then you might get a critical or discouraging email. And in that moment, you need to seek God. Okay, God, give me wisdom. Help me not to respond in an anger, vengeful way, but help me to respond with grace and humility. Or maybe, you know, there's someone at your work or your office or your school that's really hard to love, right? I think we all have some of those people. Or if you don't yet, just wait, they'll come. But, you know, there's people that are hard to love. And so when you meet those people, again, go to prayer. Okay, God, help me to love this person right now. Help me to see them with your eyes. Help me to see them the way you do. Or maybe, you know, when you're tempted with some kind of temptation, go to God in prayer. Okay, God, I'm being tempted right now. So, God, I can't do this. I can't overcome. But, God, you can. You can help me. Or maybe you come home at night and or you're at work and you're feeling stressed or you're feeling discouraged or you're feeling lonely. In those moments, just seek God. It can just be a short, simple prayer, but just, God, I need you right now. God, be my strength right now. So admit our brokenness, seek God, and keep seeking, continue seeking. Because the last thing I really want to focus on is, you know, Pastor Ron always preaches this, but he says, you know, Jesus, he lived the perfect Christian life for us. As a man, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so God doesn't want us to try to live this Christian life in our own strength, trying to press on to gambate, you know. He doesn't want us to just try keep striving and striving. He wants us to humbly depend on Him. Because, again, God opposes the proud. So if your attitude is, okay, God, I got this, I'm good, well, He's opposed to you. But if your attitude is, God, I need you, help me today, I'm going to seek you, then God draws near to you and He loves to help you. So when you're tempted to get angry, again, just turn to Jesus. And Jesus, help me to love this person right now. When you're feeling tired or discouraged, okay, God, please be my strength right now. Jesus, you help me through this. When you're tempted, Jesus, He never sinned and He defeated every single temptation. So when you're tempted to sin, don't try to fight it in your own strength. Just, you know, God, I need you right now. Help. I just humble myself and I cannot overcome this temptation. But Jesus, you did and you can. And resist the devil in Jesus' name. Yeah, like I've said, if your heart is just dry and hungry and thirsty, Jesus is the only one that fills it. So Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. So if you find yourself this morning frustrated, tired, broken, lonely, struggling with sin, discouraged, any of those things, then you're blessed. You can be happy. You can rejoice because yours is the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus, our great high priest, is more than willing to help and to assist and to draw near to you. But first, you just have to be humble and reach out to Him. So may that be our attitude. May we be people that seek God in humility every day and continue seeking Him from the morning until we fall asleep at night. So in conclusion, I just want to read a quote from A.W. Tozer. If you like to read and you like to be challenged, I would encourage you to read him. He's a really well-known pastor and author, and he's really influenced my Christian walk. But this comes from his book, Desiring God, which is probably one of his most famous books. But I'm going to read this quote, and then just as you listen, again, prayer is this can be our attitude, and this can be kind of the posture of our heart as Christians. So he says, O God, I have tasted thy goodness, and it has both satisfied me and made me thirsty for more. I am painfully conscious of my need for further grace. I am ashamed of my lack of desire. O God, the triune God, I want to want thee. I long to be filled with longing. I thirst to be made more thirsty still. Show me thy glory. I pray thee so that I may know thee indeed. Begin in mercy a new work of love within me. Say to my soul, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Then give me grace to rise and follow thee up from this misty lowland where I have wandered so long. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we love you, we praise you. You are so gracious and kind and compassionate. And thank you so much for giving us your son, Jesus, who is the greatest gift of heaven. And by him, we have access to you. We have access to the kingdom of heaven. And we have access to help we need in every situation, whether we're feeling joyful or sad or lonely or discouraged or stressed or tired, whatever it is, Jesus, we can turn to you and we can receive the divine grace and help that we need. And so, God, would you please give us humble hearts that depend on you. Remove the pride and the stubbornness from us and help us to be humble. Help us to seek you. Help us to continue seeking you. And help us just to see afresh and new how beautiful and wonderful you are, Jesus. So thank you for this message, and I pray that we can continue thinking about it, thinking about you throughout this week, and that we can continue seeking you so that our hearts may be satisfied and we can bless others. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.